Time now on the Medusa pregame show to visit with head coach Brent Bolte of the Beavers. Asked you in the postgame show if that was one of the craziest games you've been a part of. Now that you've had time to reflect a little, is it more crazy or less crazy?
I'd say it's still right up there in the top, you know, handful that I've ever been around as a player and or as a coach. Yeah, I think one of the games, since we're in homecoming week, a long time ago, we beat Southwest State 65-63. That might have been right up there. That was this game. Those two were kind of the ones that, since I've been here, really stick out. But the storyline behind it makes it the crazier part, with two fourth down and tens, a brand new starting quarterback stepping up, making plays. You know, even before that, the interception in the end zone where you thought possibly the game was over. We got a stop, got the ball back, converted on those fourth downs, and then kicked the extra point that went through with Mason, and then, you know, got a stop. They run a fake field goal. I mean, what the heck? And then him doinking the field goal through it was crazy. And then probably the best part was seeing Rufus Saley, one of our assistant coaches. I didn't see it happen. If you look at Twitter and some of the social media stuff, he was celebrating and running around, and one of our other players obviously just smoked him, and he flailed around like he was dead. And it was all the things. I probably watched the different replays 1,000 times, and just the pure emotion on the sideline, it was really awesome.
A lot of the focus was on the new guys that were on the field. I want to focus on the guys that have been there. How did those guys help all those new guys?
You know, offensively, it's just you can't hide a quarterback, and he did some really good things. He did some really bad things. He struggled at times just getting comfortable. And then once he was able to step up in the pocket and deliver ball, he can throw the ball extremely well. He had two deflected interceptions that were not really his fault, but he made some bad choices, but yet you can see the promise in there. But having a good offensive line, number one, helps. He had time back there. He rushed a few things in Northern Broad Heat. But I think just having the cast around him with so many weapons to be able to run the ball, again had a great game. I thought Tahi ran well. I thought the offensive line did a pretty good job. The receivers might have been a little bit more frustrated just because they just are used to having Jordy drop balls in there and be able to get it. But they did a good job on the perimeter too. So, and then with Mason, I mean, Isaac helped him out during the week, Anarud, and then it's nice to have Gunner back to holding and doing his stuff, and, you know, flipping the kid a little crap before the field goal and the extra point. It was interesting to hear the conversations after the game and hear what actually occurred, but everybody just, for some odd reason, there was a lot of blind confidence in Mason just because he was able to, he just doesn't seem phased, which is crazy for an 18-year-old, but he's able to step in there and do it, so fantastic.
How has the injury to Ryan Shields impacted your depth chart even now a year later?
Well, it's impacted because certainly Mellon would have redshirted last year if Ryan would have been able to be healthy. And then if Ryan would have been back in this year's case, you know, more than likely Mellon would have been out there again. You know, Ryan would have been the guy taking the snaps. But it is what it is with that side. But definitely it's probably accelerated, you know, some of the backup guys. And you know, we're still using our third-string quarterback, or now second-string quarterback, to run the ball, and Henning, and he's done a nice job. Still, I mean, he's a big fullback type of quarterback, just smacking it downhill. So we're still going to do all that, get creative, create packages to be able to run the ball. That's not Mellum's game to try to be a slash type of kid, and we don't want him getting back. He'll just get smacked around and probably sitting on the sideline too. So, but yeah, it sucks for Ryan. I mean, that injury definitely hurt the depth, but just making do with what we have.
How is Jordan doing?
I wouldn't expect him to play this week, to be honest with you. And mainly, he might be able to, but we got to be able to win games and get him healthy. I mean, no one's dumb enough not to look down the road past Minot. I have no problem people looking at the schedule. I do it all the time, going, hey, we got to take care of business this week, but I don't want him to go out there and not have our best 55 for the following week. So I would expect a lot of two quarterback rotations this week between Mellum and Henning.
More with Coach Bolte when we return to the Benusa pregame show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to the Benusa pregame show on the Beaver Radio Network, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. Walk the listeners through the process of overtime and what goes through a coach's brain. We'll start with a toss.
Well, on the, you know, they get alternate, start to 25. Each team gets an opportunity to be on OND. So what you really want is win the overtime and put yourself on defense first, so you know what the opposing offense is able to do. If they score a touchdown, you obviously have to go for a touchdown. If they kick a field goal, you know at least that you have to get a field goal to go to double overtime. So that's really what you want to have happen. If it stays tied after the first overtime, they flip. So if you were on, like we were on defense first, our offense would have been up first in the second over, or the second overtime. If it goes to a third overtime, they actually reflip the coin and you get the opportunity then to do the same thing. So again, if we'd won, we'd want to go on defense, but then you're forced to go for two if you make a touchdown at that point. So that's how it goes, and we practice it. That's the fun part. We do a lot of situations, and overtime is one that we have a lot of fun with during camp, but we haven't been in an overtime game for a couple of years, so it was fun to actually do it and be up and have the opportunity to win the game in that situation in the first one.
If you have a proven kicker, would you ever consider kicking after a defensive stop on first down, second down?
Possibly on third down. I've seen that happen before. Our goal is to get a first down. I'd still probably try to get the yardage and get it if you had the issue of possibly when you get down inside the 15. I've seen teams do that before, going, hey, it's a chip shot. If he happens to have a bad snap, then you can recover and still have a long field goal. Trust me, that thought process was going through my head. But at that point where we were at, we really didn't have very many options. We were just trying to get some yards to stay in his range, which I didn't know what his range was, to be honest with you. I thought 35, but he was able to hit 38, and probably would have been good from a pretty good... I mean, he cleared it. It wasn't a lot of hype on it, but it was good distance-wise.
On to Minot. Their tailback, Jarvis Mustafer, has more carries himself than the quarterback, Isaac Weed, has pass attempts. Safe to say, pack in the box today.
Yeah. Weed is a good quarterback, and he doesn't... Their offensive line has struggled. I think they had 8 sacks last week against Duluth, and Duluth just brought it repetitively and were able to stop the run in situations and just got up and just hammered them up front. And they were banged up. They had some starters out or some guys that were rotating in at least. So for us, I'm more worried about the quarterback's legs, and that's what hurt us against Northern. He extended plays, and I think 200 of the yards last week were attributed to us not keeping him in the pocket and extending plays. So we're talking a lot about how to control him, but I would take the running back. I like him a lot. Jarvis is a good player. If he gets downhill, man, he's a load. One of the best runs of the year was against Upper Iowa I've seen. I mean, he had to break 7 tackles, ran guys over, threw guys around him, and you can see the talent that they have on the team. It's just they haven't put it together. They've self-inflicted a lot. And so we need to take their confidence away early. Otherwise, we'll be in a dogfight down at the Chet.
What's their defense do well?
Cover receivers up. They have extremely good secondary, and they play bump and run, aggressive man-to-man coverage, which they've done since the new coach has been there. And so we know that that's going to happen. Everybody's known it, and they have one of the better pass defenses in the league. I think the numbers are gaudy in terms of percentage against them. I think it's in the 40% range for the opposing quarterbacks. But they have given up, you know, rushing yards. So if it's up to me, I'd rather see the ball ran for, you know, 250 yards and don't worry about the other side of stuff and not have the kids worry about it. But we'll take what they give us, and Craig's smart dude. He'll have pass wrinkles in to get guys free. And the nice thing about getting cover one, if you make a guy miss, it's 6. So it's definitely a double-edged sword in that capacity for them as well.
What does a jump in the lake mean to you personally?
It means it's going to be freaking cold. With the new administration, it's probably not the time or the place to take a shot at our new president, but let's move it up a little bit early in the year, and Tracy as well. So I don't know if they listen to this, help me out. But I think for the most part, it's just the unique tradition, and people from the community all around the country now really look forward to seeing this on social media and go, what are those crazy people up north doing? And it's just been something that's really been part of our culture now with BSU football. That's been a tradition over the years, and you see a lot of proud alumni. You see people that can reflect back on what it's meant, the different games over the years, and it's pretty wild. It'd have been fun if it was last week, because it'd have been just a mosh pit in the lake, but Hopefully it's not coming down to a field goal at the end of the game. But if it does, whatever. If we win, that's the most important part. But it does mean a lot. This is the game that I really should spat up for, because I get the tar kicked out of me when I get in the lake. They should film this so I know who to run afterwards. So you guys take some liberties when the water's flying, and you're not sure who gets you, but you end up underwater, and it's fun. It really is one of the most unique things that college football teams do, so it's really fun to be around.
Best of luck.
Thank you much.
Brent Boldy, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.